Praise God. Well, God bless you tonight. We appreciate each of you being here. Appreciate your faithfulness to the house of the Lord tonight. And I am looking forward to what the Lord wants to do. Let me try that again. I'm looking forward to what the Lord wants to do. What a powerful service we had on Sunday night. And I'm thankful, for the way that the Lord moved in. And the Lord always knows, He always knows what our week is going to hold. And many times, He gives us that extra touch, knowing what is coming our way. And without question, the devil has unleashed his forces. And but as I said to you a few days ago, that's to be expected. You look, I don't care how much we get up and talk about what God's doing and how much we shout about what we believe He's going to do. The devil is not going to just roll over and give up. He's just not going to do it. And so he's going to hit us harder and harder the more we start to see a breakthrough, because he wants to stop us. It's exactly what I preached to you just a few weeks ago, that when the seed is planted, as soon as the seed is planted, Jesus said the fowls of the air came, because they didn't want that seed to produce. They didn't want it to do anything. And so you just expect it. We don't glory in it. We just know it's coming. So we brace ourselves. We prepare ourselves. We pray a little harder. We fast a little more. We read the scripture. We come to church. We open our hearts. We let God talk to us. Let God touch us again and give us strength for a few more days. But when we walk out of here, now this is our sanctuary. This is our safe place. We walk out of here, we need to just recognize we are stepping back onto the battlefield. We're just back on the battlefield. And the devil doesn't care if you're wounded. In fact, if you're wounded and hurting, you become a bigger target to him. The Bible says that he is like a roaring lion. And if you ever study the habits of lions, you know, most of the time they're going to go after the weakest in the herd. Well, they don't put up nearly as much of a fight. And if they can find one that's wounded, then that's easy prey. And so you just need to recognize that, you know, when you're struggling, when you're down, don't think that's when the devil's going to take it easy on you. Just understand that it's coming, and that's when you need the help of your brothers and sisters. And don't ever be afraid or ashamed to reach out to somebody and say, "I need your prayers." Don't try to fight the battle alone, but let's fight together. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the reason why I'm saying all these things is because many times through the years, I've watched God carry us to a place very, very close to the breakthrough that we have wanted. And invariably, he's been successful in bringing enough attacks to get our attention off of what God is doing and onto what he's doing. And when we lose sight of what God's doing, then God stops doing it. We get our eyes off of him, we start to sink. That's just the way it works. Ask the Apostle Peter. I mean, how much higher can you get in a spiritual experience than to be walking on water? And yet after a few steps, he finds himself drowning. Because he took his eyes off of the one who was holding him there. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants us focused on what we're facing. And I'm not talking to just one person tonight, because nobody knows all of those that have reached out just in the last couple of days. Think it not strange. That's all I can tell you. Think it not strange. And you know what we're going to do? We're not going to spend our time tonight talking about the devil. I've said all I want to say about him. We're going to go right back to where we were, and we're going to keep talking about what God's wanting to do. In fact, I got to the church a little early this evening and was looking through some things and ran across a recording that I thought, well, this is interesting. It was from 2005. It's a man that I barely knew who came and preached to this church. And I didn't get to finish listening to the whole thing, so I can't comment a whole lot, but this much I can say, that he stood here in this sanctuary and began to proclaim 20 years ago what God wanted to do. And specifically, and it was an amazing thing. In fact, as I listened to the recording I have was not even of him. The recording that I have, you can be seated for just a moment. I'll get to my notes in a minute. I don't want you to be too wore out when I start preaching, all right? But the recording that I found was not even of him. The recording was the fact that I came back the following service and told the church, you didn't get what that man said. And I don't know of any other time I've ever done this, but your brother was in the sound booth that night, and I had him play back parts of what that man said. And I said, I can tell by the response, you didn't get it. You didn't get what he said. You didn't comprehend the depth. And I think, and I noted then, I said, I think for many of you, you thought it was just him talking. You never recognized the moment when the spirit of prophecy came on him. It was just such a smooth transition. There was no explosive atmosphere going on. People weren't shouting and worshiping. He was just up talking. But as he started talking, he began to say things that he was feeling. And then the next thing you know, it went into first person where he's saying, saith the Lord. And I said, church, you didn't even recognize what God was saying to us. And this man was from the East Coast. Like I said, I didn't know him that well. I'd had a little bit of interaction with him. I'd heard great things about him. I'd had others tell me how God had used him to prophesy to them. And I brought him in and had him preach. And he began to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And began to say, in fact, he he said, he made this statement. He said, there was something he'd heard all of his life. He said, I've always believed in end time revival. I've always believed God was going to pour his spirit out. He said, but all of my life, now he's from the East Coast. All of my life, I've heard great men tell us that that revival would start here. It would start on the East Coast and it would spread across this nation. He said, I've heard that. He said, but I'm here to tell you, that's not what's going to happen. And he began to prophesy. And the Lord said to this church, I have chosen this place. He began to say, God is going to do something that is going to shatter all of our previous expectations. He said, it's going to get the attention of the entire nation. That's what he said. I'm telling you, church, it's been 20 years. You say, why hadn't it happened? Well, God's got a time. But honestly, part of it is exactly what I said. At the moment we get close, the devil gives enough attack and brings enough discouragement that enough people give up on the promise and lose faith and lose hope. I'm going to tell you, church, I hope that we've got enough people under the sound of my voice that your minds are made up that we're not quitting this time. The devil can do what he wants to do, but we are pursuing the promises of God. I know this is a bold statement, and don't think that I have any expectation nor that I'm prophesying. I'm not. I'm just telling you how determined I am. I'm just telling you, if I've got to pursue the promises of God from a hospital bed, I'm not quitting. I've got my heart set on what God wants to do, and I'm telling you, church, we've got to go after it right now. We've got to go after it right now. While the Spirit is moving the way that it's moving, while God's doing what he's doing around here, now's the time for us to tear down the strongholds. Not just, and I thank God for the promise. I believe exactly what Brother Nelson said Sunday night. I believe that God pulled down strongholds in the lives of some backsliders. But I'm telling you, we got a few strongholds of our own that we've got to believe God is going to pull down. I'm telling you, one of those strongholds is exactly what I identified Sunday night, and it's that spirit of unbelief. It's a stronghold that has yet to be torn down, but we are coming against it. If we've got to tear it down one brick at a time, we're still going to get it down. We will be a church full of faith. We will see the promises of God fulfilled. Now I know this is going out over the internet, and I don't want anybody to think that me making statements like it would catch the attention of the nation, that I'm being arrogant. I'm not the one that said that. I'm just repeating what another man of God came through here and said 20 years ago. I'm just telling you what he said. And he certainly wasn't trying to get accolades out of it. He's never even been back since then. And so he wasn't trying to butter me up or try to impress the congregation. He just was obeying what he felt in his spirit. I'm just telling you what he said, all right? And it's so closely connected to the many other promises God has made through varied men who have come to this place and preached. Going back. Now, I don't know about years before I got here. I'm sure there were promises then, but I can go all the way back to my installation service 29 years ago when the Lord spoke through a man of God and said, "This would be my harvest field." And from there, the promises just got better and better and better. There's a lot at stake, saints of God. There is a lot at stake right now. I said it the other night. It's not just about you. It's about the whole kingdom of God. It's about this church. It's about this body. And we've got to recognize and we've got to understand there's a whole lot at stake, but it's going to be worth the battle. When the victory comes, it's going to be worth the fight. I know some of you think God will never use you in the gifts of the Spirit, but hang on, honey. I'm telling you, God wants to do it. And when God starts using you in those gifts, you're going to thank God you didn't give up. You're going to thank God you didn't throw in the towel. You're going to thank God you didn't quit believing. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. My. Praise God. Well, I didn't come prepared to say any of that, but I felt it, and I feel it, and I believe it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what we see right now with our human eyes. I have faith. And faith is the evidence. That's what the Bible says. Faith is the evidence. It's all the evidence I need. It's all the evidence I need. Some men say it was 30 years between Joseph's dream and the time that Joseph sat on the throne. But 30 years did not diminish the promise of God. It just took God 30 years. Now, this is the amazing thing. Somebody wrote a song about it years ago. This is the amazing thing, that God could create the entire universe in 6 days. But he spent 30 years working on Joseph. Now, they didn't specifically mention Joseph, but this is just the long suffering of God. When it comes to creation, he just spoke it and it happened. When it comes to our lives, God's got to work with us. And it just takes some time. And it just took some time to get Joseph to the place that he could handle fulfillment of the promise. I think Joseph was a little arrogant. I think Joseph was a little conceited. I think Joseph was a little spoiled. He was daddy's favorite. That's true. I don't think he could have handled going from that to the throne. He had to go through some things. He had to be sold as a slave. He had to be lied on. He had to be imprisoned. He had to be forgotten. And when God finally elevated him in just a moment, and remember, that's all it took. 30 years he languished. But in one moment, he went from the prison to the palace. That's the amazing thing about God. When he's working with people, it takes time. But when he gets everything the way he wants it to be, it doesn't take any time for God to bring about the full fulfillment of everything he said. Now listen, church, the fact that it hasn't happened yet does not discourage me. I'm going to tell you, I'm encouraged, because I believe that means God's just still working on us. He would never have spoken it 30 years ago if he didn't intend for it to happen. So he's just working on us all this time, getting us to that place where he can do what he wants to do with us. So hang on, Joseph. Don't get discouraged down there in the prison house. Oh. I wonder how many times after he was sold into slavery, I wonder how many times he thought, this is it. We're right there. When Potiphar is one of the leading men working under Pharaoh. And when Potiphar put him over everything in his house, Joseph probably thought, man, we are right there. We are so close. It's about to happen now. And right at the moment he thought it was going to happen, Potiphar's wife got involved. Tried to entice him. He stood for what was right, and it cost him everything. And now all of a sudden, when he thought it was about to be fulfilled, he's now not just a slave, he's an imprisoned slave. He went on down the chain. Well, is anybody understanding what I'm saying to you tonight? Like Joseph, we've had our moments when things were elevated and things looked good. And then the bottom fell out. But God's not finished. God is not finished. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with his church. He's not finished with you. The fact that you're here right now says God's not finished with you.
You would have no desire to even be here if God was done with you. God's not finished with any of us. He's still got a plan. He's still got a promise. He's still got a revival that he wants to send.
Oh, Jesus. He's in the prison. He starts getting elevated there. Bible says that the man in charge of the prison put Joseph in control of everything. Gave him full control, full run of the place. He's being elevated again. He finds himself face to face with two of Pharaoh's closest men. And they are troubled. So we had a dream. Both of us. And we don't know what it means. And God divinely gives Joseph the meaning of the dreams to Pharaoh's closest men. This has got to be the moment, Brother Hilton. This has got to be it. God's about to open that. God's about to do it for me now. The dreams are fulfilled, and the butler forgets him. And nothing happens. Months and months and months drag by. Not a word out of the palace. Where are you, God? What happened? What happened? Now, I'm just telling you, God was working on Joseph. Had Joseph gone straight from that time of persecution by his brothers to the throne, he'd have probably killed his brothers. And as bad off as his brothers were, God had a plan for them too. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. But I'm just telling you, had Joseph gone straight to the throne, he probably would have killed him. Probably would have. I mean, he's out there bragging on what, you know, you're going to bow down to me. I mean, I can hear him when they're kneeling down in front, probably saying, I told you so. But when it finally happens, that's not his attitude at all. Something's changed in Joseph. God got him ready. You want to know what's been going on for the last 29 years? God's just been getting us ready. He's let us see a little bit of some highs and then dropped us to some lows. But through the process, God was just getting this church ready. And I can tell you, church, that in 29 years, I've never seen the congregation that we have at any given time that had as much faith and as much response to the moving of the Spirit. Now, we've seen shouting, but I'm just telling you, there's a difference about what's going on. The unity, the love, the things that are happening, it's totally different. God has brought us to this moment in time. And we can't abandon it now. We got to fight on, soldier. We got to fight on, soldier. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. There's something different in the spirit. Something different in the atmosphere. Something different this time around than anything I've experienced heretofore. This is our moment, church. I believe with all my heart, this is our moment. This is our time. And I'm telling you, in an instant, God can turn this whole thing around. He can turn the whole thing around in just an instant. He's done it before. Prophet said by this time tomorrow, there's going to be so much here. Everything's going to be selling cheap. There's such a supply. And Mr. Intelligence, Mr. Logic, said if God opened a window in heaven, it couldn't happen. I'm telling you, that thought's crossed a few minds. Where are the crowds? Where's all this stuff you've been talking about? Where is it? You've been saying this. Where is it at? Hey, you know what God did? God proved he didn't even have to open the windows of heaven to keep his promise. He could take four lepers that nobody else wanted anything to do with. Create the first public address system. Put wireless microphones around their ankles and speakers in the enemy's camp. And those four men dragging their feet, hobbling along, sounded like a host on their way to make war. And it so scared the enemy, they didn't even pack up. They just ran. And God fulfilled his promise in a moment. I'm telling you, if God's got to do it, he'll convert an entire church. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? If God's got to do it to fulfill his promise, he'll convert an entire church. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it over and over and over and over. We got 1,000 pastors enrolled right now in online training where God has just converted the whole church. He's done it 1,000+ times in Africa. You don't think he can do it one time in America? Is anything too hard for God? Let's praise him for a moment. Let's praise him for a moment.